If you're a boy, if you're a boy and you go to the toilet, then have you ever been to the toilet and seen some? You might want to put your fingers in your ears. You've seen something on the inside of the bowl. When I say something, you've probably got a good idea what it is. Do you try and jet power it off the side of the bowl and see if you can finish it off before you finish? Boys, give me a nod if you do this. Yeah, okay, so this is what I mean. Like, you've got a question, you want to ask somebody, but you don't know if it's going to be what they're feeling or whether it's just you. So I've got this question that's been bugging me for a long time, and it's something I want to share with you tonight. And at times, sometimes, I think I've got the answers to this question, and at other times, it frustrates me so much that I still don't know the answer to this question. And my question is this: why am I so rubbish at praying? Why am I so rubbish at praying? I've been doing this for like 30 years now, and I still feel like I'm so rubbish at it. I want to stay connected to God all the time. I genuinely do. I know, because I've been told a million times in church, that nothing will change my life, my individual personal life with God, more than a daily prayer life with Him. And yet I feel so rubbish at it, and I feel like I get it wrong. This is one of those talks where if it feels like you're like that too, you're welcome to nod at any point and make me feel better. When I try and pray, one of these three things is undoubtedly going to happen to me. And the first one is the prayer where my mind just goes blank. I know that there's like a million things to pray for. I promise to pray for a million things for people. I've got myself in a position when I'm ready to pray, I'm ready to go, and then I'm like, I don't know what to pray for. And my mind just goes blank. And then even worse, I feel like, oh, I can't do this prayer thing. And so I just give up. Number two, please nod with me on this one, is like the daydreamer. I start to pray, I've been going for a short amount of time, and then within a few minutes, I'm in some like dream world about whether I've changed my captain on my fantasy football team because Liverpool are playing Cardiff and I should put Salah as my captain. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I'm meant to be praying here. And then I start to pray again, and before I've like realised what I'm doing, I'm having a discussion with someone that I saw last week who's coming to me that I thought was a little bit rude. So I'm playing for over my mind what I would have said to them if I had time to go back and think about what to say. I think to myself, hang on a minute, I'm going to be praying here. And so I do what I normally do and think, oh, I just can't do this prayer thing. And then I just give up. The third one for me is the to-do list. It seems the second that I start to pray, everything that I'm meant to be doing, should be doing, should have said to somebody, just comes rushing through my head. And I think, I'm going to forget those things if I don't go and do them now. And then I don't end up praying. Tonight, I want us to think about how on earth we can stay connected to God through prayer. On my first day of university, I was told that every Wednesday lunchtime, we would be expected to go to chapel. I had a little bit of a bad attitude, so I thought, chapel? That sounds like a bit boring. It doesn't sound very interesting to me. So I thought, I'm going to have to go to chapel every Wednesday. So the first Wednesday, I was there, and I sat in these very uncomfy seats and sung some songs that I hadn't sung for a long time. And then they said, now our principal is going to come and talk to us. Please welcome Herbert McGonigal. What a name! Herbert McGonigal. And Herbert McGonigal looked exactly like somebody called Herbert McGonigal would look like. He was like everyone's favourite granddad. White hair, white beard, maybe a bit like a cartoon character of God. And I thought, if I'm honest, I thought, I'm not really looking forward to this next 30 minutes of my life. And he stood up and he said these, his first words. No introduction. He just said, I've been praying now for 60 years and I find it hard. And you could almost sense this massive sense of relief across the people in the room. Because they all thought he was going to get up and tell us how we need to pray more and what we're doing wrong. And he just said, it's hard, isn't it? And I felt this inner sense of relief that said, well, actually, if you find it hard, and you've been doing it for 60 years, if you find it hard and you're the principal of a Bible college, then maybe I'm okay after all. Maybe I'm not the worst Christian in the world. Maybe I'm normal. One of the verses that's massively helped me stay better connected to God is a verse from the Bible. You can put it up on the screen. And this verse has transformed how I pray and my own understanding of my prayer life. And it's this: therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be clear-minded and self-controlled see what you can pray. What I really love about this verse is those two words near the end. So and that. Think clearly and be controlled so that you can pray. It's kind of like saying, if you want to pray, if you want to really learn to love prayer and find it easy, we're probably going to have to clear our minds and really focus so that we can do it. It's almost saying, if you're not able to do these things, you might find prayer hard. I don't mean some sort of emptying our mind kind of exercise. More just a realization that prayer is something that we need some sort of focus to do. It's like when you're on the end of the phone and someone else starts talking to you, and the person on the other end of the phone doesn't know that someone else has started talking to you. And just for that split bit of time, you try and listen to both of them at the same time. And you realise it's just impossible. And you end up saying, oh, shut up, I'm on the phone. Because you can't cope with both at the same time. You need to clear your mind to be able to focus. And that's what this verse is saying. To pray, and to pray well, we need to clear our minds and concentrate. I'm wondering if anyone here tonight would describe their minds as clear. Whether you would say you're a clear-minded person. I know that I'm not. My mind isn't the slightest bit clear. It's everywhere. At any given time, my mind is constantly buzzing with people, things, what to do, what I did, what I should have done, what he said, what she said, what I might do, what I might not do, what I might regret. Our minds are anything but clear, aren't they? Is there any wonder that when we stop to pray, we're suddenly bombarded and flooded with the chaos that goes inside them? That we're distracted and end up with to-do lists and imaginary arguments and fantasy football teams? Probably the best piece of advice I've ever heard about prayer, I only heard recently, and it was connected to this verse. It's almost like a practical way to live out these verses. You can put it up on the screen if you want. It's this. If your mind wanders whilst you're praying, pray about where your mind has wandered to. If your mind wanders while you're praying, pray about where it's wandered to. Instead of feeling bad and beating yourself up that your mind keeps wandering, just pray about where it goes to. It's not like God doesn't know. It's not like we've let him down in some sort of way. For me, it looks like this. I start to pray and I start to think about something to do with my fantasy football team. I say, God, I'm so thankful for football. I love football so much. It's such a big part of my life and I enjoy it. But you know, God, sometimes it just takes over too much. And I really don't want it to. And I'm really sorry. And then I pray a little bit more. And I start to think about the person that's got I've got annoyed with in the week. I wish I'd sensed something different to. I say, clearly, God, this person is on my mind for a reason. I'm really sorry. Maybe I should have handled the situation differently. I'm really annoyed by them. Please show me what I can do or help me live at peace. Perhaps these are our very best and most honest prayers anyway. Perhaps God isn't bothered about whether we do it right and just likes the gutsy, honest, dirty, real connections of our thoughts. The good, the bad, the ugly, the silly, and the irrelevant things that go through our minds. Perhaps he just wants to be included in all the things that go on. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. You're welcome to put it up. What seems to be our worst prayers may really be, in God's eyes, our best. Those that aren't supported by feeling. Sometimes God speaks to us most intimately when he catches us off our guard. The second thing that I've understood in my prayer, in my journey of wanting to be better connected to God, was quite hard for me to take. It was kind of a bit of an ouch moment for me. And that was the day that it dawned on me that I found God more useful than beautiful. The day that I realized I found God more useful than beautiful. This was influenced to me by a trip that I went to Romania and a program I watched on TV. So when I was 16-year-old, I went on a mission trip to Romania with a load of people that I didn't know. And we were like building some community center or something like that. And after we'd been building the day, we went out in the evening to have a drink and sit down and relax outside. And we were sitting down and relaxing, and a group of local teenagers came and asked if they could join us, which was really nice. So we sat with them for about 20 minutes, talking with via our translators about London and whatever you talk with people in another country about. And they decided then it was time for them to go, and off they went. few minutes later, one of our group started to panic. And he said, my camera's gone, my camera's gone. Where's my camera? It's a really expensive camera. Where's my camera gone? And he was in a proper flap. At this point, we realised that this group of locals hadn't actually been as friendly as we thought they were. And their plan all along was to distract the stupid tourists and run off with their camera. And we all felt really, really stupid. So one of the group chirped up and said, why don't we pray about it? At which point I thought, if I'm really honest, my next thought was, we're not going to come and bring the camera back, but we'll pray about it. Let's sit and pray about it anyway. So we prayed about the camera, and I felt bad for my lack of faith, and we started to walk home. And this boy comes running up to us and says, sorry, and just gives the guy the camera back, and he runs off home again. Now, I felt like the worst Christian in the world for my lack of faith, but I started to pray about everything. I was like, it works. It really works. And I was praying left, right, and centre for anything I could find to pray about. I hadn't been home long from this trip when I saw an advert for a programme on TV. It was on the BBC, and it was about prayer. I don't really get many programmes on the BBC about prayer. And on this programme, they were going to take 10 people who were recovering from heart surgery, and they were going to use them to test whether prayer actually works. So we got a group of Christians from a church, and we decided to ask them to pray for 5 people recovering from heart surgery. We didn't tell them that the other 5 existed. We just got them to pray for this 5. So the test was simple. They'd do a load of tests afterwards, but they'd say, did the people who were prayed for improve better than the people who weren't prayed for? So my question to you tonight is, do you think the people who are prayed for had better recovery results than those that didn't? Hands up if you think they recovered better. Hands up if you think it was either the same or worse. Pretty 50-50 split. Okay, so the answer is, I forgot to watch the programme. It was a 2-part programme, and the results were in the second part of the programme, which I didn't watch, and this was like in the days before the internet and catch-up TV, and so I guess I'll never know. Don't tell me. Does prayer work? Will we get the camera back? Will they recover quickly? So often we miss the point, don't we? Prayer becomes about, does God give me what I want? Did God make things work out how I wanted them to be? How useful was God to me in this situation? What we mean when we say, does prayer work, means, did we get what we wanted? Whilst praying for things is really, really important, it's a million miles from everything that God has for us in terms of being connected to Him. Perhaps I didn't feel connected to God because I limited my prayers to ones where He could be useful to me, not ones where He could be beautiful to me. I'd narrowed down prayer to, did I get what I wanted? Did it work type of prayer? To finish, I want us to think about 3 ways in which we can stay connected to God, but don't include measuring if prayer works. They're about connection and relationship and becoming more like Jesus instead of what can you do for me? Because prayer changes us as much as it changes things. I don't want my relationship with Jesus to be based on whether He's useful to me. Did He get my camera back? I want Him to be beautiful to me and not just useful. My first of these is thanks. This is my total go-to prayer when I don't know what to pray or where to start. I just make a massive list to God in my head, out loud, of everything I have in life that I can be thankful for. I can breathe. I've got arms. I can taste. I know what laughter is. I've experienced friendship. I've got a house. I can hear. I've seen a sunset. I know what the summer is. The list is endless. Why pray like this? Because without fail, it transforms us. It makes us feel alive again. The list of things that we want from God is rapidly reduced when we see in perspective how amazing it is that He has given already so much we don't deserve, because it makes our heart appreciate again, and that changes us and makes us see Jesus as more beautiful. My second is just adoring God. I tell God maybe just for a minute what I think of Him, that He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe and the galaxies, that he's changed my life and I'd be lost without him, that he's bigger than I can ever comprehend or understand. Why pray like this? Because suddenly I go from being this big, important person, and it's all about me, 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 to just being in awe of who God is. And lots of things just seem less important. And over time, he becomes more beautiful to me than useful to me. And the third one is sorry. I think something truly amazing happens inside us when we confess to God in prayer. When we move from saying, sorry for all the wrong things I've done, God, to actually just taking a few seconds of saying, oh man, I recognize, God, that I'm so full of pride. My attitude can be so rubbish at times. I'm sorry that I've been jealous and made everything about me, that I haven't been a very patient friend. I've been angry and annoyed and irritable. I don't want to be like this. Why pray like this? Because I think it makes everything that Jesus has done for us way, way more powerful. We move from what Jesus did on the cross being like, oh, thanks for that, that's really great, to, oh my, I really do need help. I'm not as great as I think I am. I'm so grateful for what you did for me. The way you continue to forgive me when I mess up, the way you adore me when I can see a million reasons for you not to, just makes you so, so much more beautiful. It's good and right to pray for things. We need to pray for God, for things. God is very useful. But let's pray in a way that connects our heart to his heart and makes us see that he's way more beautiful than useful. I want to finish with this quote, if you want to put it up on the screen. Prayer is awe, it's intimacy, it's struggle, yet it's the way to reality. There is nothing more important or harder or richer or life-changing. Don't be disheartened if you struggle to pray. It's hard. It's easy. It's hard. It's easy. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. And let's allow God to transform our lives as we share with him the good, the bad, the ugly, the silly, the irrelevant, and see him as just as beautiful as useful.